You may be asking yourself, why on earth did we just watch an animation? And I'll tell you, because I used to love movies like Gladiator and Braveheart, and then I got four small children and was robbed of all of my masculinity, and now I find all my joy in little animations like these because it's all I ever get to watch in my house. But there is a greater reason than that. That is actually one of my favorite scenes in the animation world, because it is so deeply tied to a dream that I have had for a very, very long time. About 9 years ago, in fact, not about, exactly 9 years ago, this week, my wife and I got in a car in Monterey, California, to do the cross-country drive to Claremont, Florida, to come here to start something that we had in our minds as a dream that God had placed in our hearts. You see, we believed wholeheartedly when we left there to come and plant and start Mosaic Church, that we were going to take this whole world of typical religion and typical Christianity and rethink and reshape its process, because what we were learning from God's word and seeing in reality was not lining up well. And so we believed that if we came with this incredible and extraordinary reality of God's kingdom and God's world and who God is, and we were able to make that real and make that alive and bring that to life, that people would see and experience the wonder of God, their creator, in his redemptive and restorative process in their lives. And that dream was a dream that we wanted to bring to life. In fact, as we got in the car to head on over here, and as we got here and started going to swimming pools and houses and finding people that might buy into the idea that this is much bigger than simply going out and trying to make people believe stuff, that there was actually a reality to God's kingdom that would shape and change and transform our lives to such an extent that it would just bleed out of us and people would be in awe of the reality of what it looks like to be redeemed and looks like to be in a process of being restored. We got those people together and we came up with this idea that we wanted to be a church, a place that simply did one thing and one thing alone. That we demonstrated, that is an action, demonstrated our passion for God because of the incredible mercy that he showed us, and demonstrated his passion for people because of the incredible mission he gave us. So God shows us unbelievable mercy, reshapes us, rescues us and begins to restore us, and then sends us out to do the same thing on his behalf in extraordinary ways. And we went, that is what we want to live. And that scene captures so beautifully for me what that looks like. You know, let's just get out there and make them believe, because we know that Jesus is going to rescue them, so they gotta believe. But you don't do that. You live it out, and you demonstrate it, and you experience it for real, not as an act, but in reality, and people will see. I remember coming here and wanting to actually have our children's ministry called Neverland. Because I always thought, what an incredible concept, right? This world that is beyond our imagination, a magical place that exists, that brings all of your dreams to life and is bigger than life itself. And I mean, there's absolutely a world like that. It's not called Neverland, but it exists. And I'm like, I want people to know that. So we came to this place, to Claremont, Florida, to begin the journey of demonstrating our passion for God and his passion for people, to live out the reality of the mission we're called to, because we had experienced something extraordinary in our lives. See, when you jump into the scriptures and you study God's word, the story unfolds in God's word that is unbelievable. It starts way back in the beginning in Genesis, and it really finds its culmination in the New Testament as the gospel is unpacked, this thing we call the gospel, good news. And it really, the gospel shows us how the story from Genesis really unfolded and what it all means. In the very beginning of time, we are told that God, the creator and sustainer of all life, created humanity on this planet called Earth. And it was in perfect paradise, in absolute perfection. It was wonderful and amazing, the relationship between God and man, without any hindrance. And then, in the process, this disease enters into the world and draws us in to its magic and its wonder. calls us into a dream that seemed bigger but turned out to be much, much smaller. And when that disease entered into humanity, it broke us. Not just a single human being, but humanity itself. In fact, we are told it infiltrated the entire world in which we were created. And it started breaking and destroying everything. Death, this word we are so familiar with, it entered into the equation. We call that the fall of man. And really, ultimately, we have this little word we came up with called sin. And sin just represents the disease that is eating away at our souls. It was a spiritual devastation to the human race. It really was. And we are told in Scripture that when we were spiritually devastated by this reality of death and sin entering in, the ripple of that spiritual devastation played out in physical ways, emotional ways, intellectual ways, social ways. And that's kind of what you and I get to experience on a daily basis on this planet. Not one of us here have not been touched by disease of some kind, ourselves or someone we know. Not one of us have not experienced days of dark depression or discouragement, feeling overwhelmed and lost in the world. Not one of us here have not struggled in a relationship with a friend or a coworker or a spouse or a child or a parent where it's been dark and horrible and difficult and painful. Not one of us have not watched the reality on the news of devastating circumstances, both natural and man-made, that have rocked our world. And when we see those tangible realities of physical and emotional and social and intellectual devastation, they root back to the reality of our spiritual devastation when sin and death entered into the world. But we are told of an incredible reality where that same creator and sustainer, the God we serve, the God that created us, loved us so much that he sent his son. He came in flesh and blood. Our creator, our sustainer, came in flesh and blood to live on this planet and to begin a process that would change everything, both past, present, and future. He came to redeem the broken. The word redeem can also be translated into rescue. He came to rescue us. We were dead in our disease of sin, and Jesus came to rescue us from the consequences of that disease spiritually. So he awakens in us a new spirituality that leads us to the same relationship with God that we had in the very beginning of time. One unbroken, untainted by the reality of sin. And so he restores our spiritual life to us in the rescue and redemption of him becoming our Savior. But then we're told in Scripture it gets better than that. You see, he says that once he has rescued us, he begins a work in us that he began in the beginning of time. I don't even get it. And he is at work in us to finish the work so that we would be complete and finished. And that's where this word restoration comes in. Jesus is at work restoring to us on an emotional, physical, social, intellectual level the beauty of what it means to live free spiritually. So we get the spiritual freedom, eternal life is secured, we're there, and then the incredible work of restoration begins in us. Have you guys ever laid eyes on an old car that's been perfectly restored? How many of you guys have ever seen that? I mean, what do you do when you see that? You just stand there with your mouth open and stare, don't you? Now maybe some of you are like, seriously, no. How about an old piece of furniture for those of you that don't like cars, right? A beautiful old antique piece, perfectly restored. It's unbelievable. And God is at work restoring us to become people that reflect emotionally, physically, socially, intellectually, the reality of our spiritual freedom. This is a freedom and a life that goes beyond our wildest dreams. In the book of Galatians, Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he actually writes, "It is for freedom that you have been set free." Do you hear that? You have been rescued spiritually, and are being restored on this planet in a process because God intends you to live in a freedom beyond your wildest imagination. It takes the small dreams that we have on this planet, the American dreams and the Western culture dreams and the world dreams, and diminishes them to practically nothing. They are so limited in all that they represent. Because the dream we are given is a dream to live in contentment regardless of circumstance. And to be able to rise above the storms of life and the realities of life and the insecurities of life and live in the freedom that has been given to us in the rescue spiritually that we have. This reality is what we are then called to live out. And when we came here to begin a story. A story with a bunch of other people where we would learn to live out that reality in community so that the world will see what it looks like. You know, Jesus says to us in the scriptures that people will know that we follow Jesus, that is, that we have been rescued by him and are being restored by him, if we love one another. When we love each other, that will demonstrate to people that we live in a reality they don't understand. Because to love other human beings is a practical impossibility without the reality of rescue, because our love is always self-centered and selfish. Oh, we love because we get stuff out of it. But when you can love despite the fact that these other horrible people are hurting you, that's pretty awesome. And so we are called into this community where we are to love one another and to live out the reality of redemption. And I hear the voice of Peter Pan saying, I got it. We're not going to go out and make Jane believe. We're going to make her see what it means to be a lost boy. What it means to live in Neverland. What it means to live in this reality. And when she sees it and she's with us and she plays our games and she hangs out, one day she's going to wake up and she's going to fly. And she does. And it's awesome. And so our job becomes so simple, doesn't it? To live out the reality of the gospel that has rescued us and is restoring us. To demonstrate it by demonstrating our passion for God and his passion for people. And so the name of this church was born. Mosaic Church. Have you ever seen a mosaic? Have you ever seen one of those? They're pretty awesome, aren't they? You can go out there. There's a bunch of tables out there with them. If you look at it carefully, it's a very interesting thing. Because it's really just a bunch of broken pieces of tile and glass. That some crazy person with an incredible picture in their mind picked up off the floor somewhere or took a nice, good, solid piece of square tile and smashed it with a hammer and then carefully placed each jaggedly shaped piece of glass and tile into a beautiful position so that eventually as they turn it around, we all stand in awe of brokenness. And that is exactly what we are as God works his wonder through us. We are a bunch of people that have experienced the reality of brokenness. We have lived in it. We experience it even now still in part as we struggle with this planet and all of its realities. And yet God takes us, places us in community that he calls the church and says, when you love one another, when you work together, despite your differences and your jagged edges and your craziness, then the world will know that the Creator God has rescued you. And the world will know that the Creator God loves them and is out to rescue them. And so we became Mosaic Church. And we started with this idea that someday we would be a place with hundreds of people that are learning to live out the reality and the mission of what it means to have been rescued by the gospel, redeemed by Jesus, and being restored by the process of the Holy Spirit at work in them. And so we watched that beautiful story begin to unfold. This is exactly why here at Mosaic Church, we take the time week after week after week to jump into the scriptures and to study and to dig in and to unpack and to draw out the reality of what it means to follow Jesus. Because Jesus, our Savior, when he walked on this planet, did not only come and secretly rescue us spiritually and then take off and leave. He came, rescued us spiritually, and then taught us incredible things about the reality of what it means to live that out. And so we get to learn from Jesus, his rhythms and his ways, the things that he did, the things that he tells us to do, the way he talked, the way he lived, the way he acted, the way he responded, the way he reacted. And we begin to be able to shape our lives after that. That's why we here say often we follow in the dust of our rabbi. As he walks, we walk close enough behind him that his dust keeps falling on us and we cough in it because we want to be that intimate with the ways of Jesus. There is a verse in scripture found in the book of Matthew as Matthew is writing to the church just saying, here's what it was like being with Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 28 and 29, he writes this unbelievable little process where Jesus is speaking and he says, Jesus said these words. I'm going to read it to you out of the Message. The Message is a transliteration. So don't study scripture out of the Message. It's a great supplement to a good Bible where you can read and get some life out of it. The Message is awesome, but it is really someone taking God's word and really trying to unpack it in a way that you can grasp a hold of it. I just want to read you this passage because it speaks so beautifully to what Jesus calls us into. Listen to this real quick. It says here, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. In this passage, this is where Jesus says in the scripture, you take on my yoke and I will show you rest for your soul. A rabbi's yoke was his philosophy, his theology, the things that he taught. And Jesus says, when we take on his teachings, his ways, what we will find is rest for our souls. And born out of the rest in our souls will come this beautiful life of freedom that Galatians speaks of when Paul writes to the church in Galatia. You have been set free for freedom's sake. And then he writes in that same passage in verse 13 of chapter 5 of the book of Galatians. Now that you have been set free, do not indulge the sinful nature as you can. But instead, use that to love one another and to serve one another. And this is what we are called to. We are called to walk out of our small dreams, our small pursuits, the things we think will bring us satisfaction and joy and significance, and to walk into the gospel and to live in the reality of Jesus. To bring honor and glory to his name, to lift him up every day, and to show the world what an incredible dream he really is. Jesus doesn't call us out of fun into misery. He calls us out of misery into life. And we are called to simply live that out. And so Paul writes to the church in Colossae in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, verse 17, and he writes these words, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. Whether in word or in deed, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to the Father. This is what we do here. This is what we do as a body. This is what we do as Mosaic, because we are a jagged bunch of people ready to poke and hurt and kill. And we learn to love each other because we have been rescued by a creator that loves us. And we are being restored by him as he works in us. Today, we have a little gift for you. A little something we want to give you. Something tangible that you can take with you so that you can remember what it is you are part of if you are here and you know Jesus. And if you are here and you're a part of this body at Mosaic. But this gift goes beyond that. It is also to remind those of you that don't call this home what you are part of and what you are in journey on. What we've done is we've taken a perfectly good, wonderful Bible, a waterproof one for that matter, with those nice waterproof pages, and we've torn it apart into single pages. Yes, we have. And we've taken each one of those single pages and we've placed them together so that we can give them to you today. Here's why. See, I've had the opportunity to travel around the world to some extraordinary places. And some of the places I've gone to, the church cannot exist in the open. It has to be underground because the particular political structure there wants to kill, arrest, and eradicate anyone that calls themselves Christ followers. So what the church does in these places is they're not allowed to carry Bibles with them. That's illegal. And so what they do is they usually have one Bible for a large group of people. And they take that Bible and they tear it into pieces. Not even kidding. I've seen this. It's real. And they hand it one page out to each person in the church. That's their church. And that person goes. And actually, it's not one page. It's usually one book because the churches are fairly small there. They have to exist. If a crowd like this gathers, not a good idea. So they take the books and they give each person an entire book in the Bible, sometimes two or three. And they send them home, and over the next month or two, they memorize that book. And then they come back and they burn all the pages from the Bible so that it will never be discovered on them. And then when the pastor is preaching, here's what he does. I'm not even kidding. I've seen this happen. He's preaching, and he will say, and then in Philippians chapter 5, verse 3 through 7, it says, and he just waits for a second, and someone gets up in the church and reads it. And sits down. Then he goes, and then God, he keeps preaching, and then he stops at a certain point. He goes, and in Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 9 says, and someone gets up in the church and spews out Isaiah. So you can't miss church there because he might call on you and you'll be in trouble. It's a great way of getting people to church, isn't it? But these people, they risk their lives for the reality of the gospel. And they are in awe when they hear that in America we have Bibles galore on every bookshelf in our houses and all over the church, and we have not read them. We have not read them. How is this even possible? And so today we want to do this. I want to give you each one page of Scripture. Just one teeny tiny page. You're lucky because I was thinking a book. Because never have I seen a better example of what it means to be a mosaic than in those moments. Where the church comes together, each carrying a portion of God's word in their heart, ready to bring it to the table whenever they need it. So we're going to hand out these pages of Scripture. Each one of you will get one. If you are here today and you call this place home, and you are part of this church on this story and this journey, I want you to take that page home with you. Last night, I told the Saturday night service to put it in a frame. My wife says to me last night, "Why would you do that? It's going to sit in your house and no one's going to read it. It's waterproof. Tell them to fold it up and stick it in their pocket and carry it wherever they go." I thought that was a much better idea. Brooke tends to be brilliant that way. And so I'm telling you something different than last night. I'll reiterate it to them next week. But here's the deal, okay? I want you to take this page of Scripture. I want you to fold it up, stick it in your pocket, your wallet, somewhere where it's going to be with you. And hear me now. If you call this place home, I want you to begin to work on memorizing it. Not for us. I'm never going to call on you. Don't worry. I'm never going to go, "Philippians 3, who's got it?" You're going to go, "Oh, it's me. I'm so sorry." We're not going to do that, okay? I am going to ask you to memorize that because you are part of a story here that desires to see world change take place through the gospel going out into our local community and our global community. And in order to do that, we have to have the word of God dwell richly in us so that we are ready to live out the reality of the gospel. And we're going to do that together, and it's going to get unbelievably cool. So I want you to take it home and do that. If you're here today and you don't call Mosaic home, you're just visiting, you're part of another incredible little body somewhere else, then I want you to take that page home with you. I want you to memorize it anyways, because I want you to remember you're part of a kingdom that belongs to God, and we are also part of that kingdom. And this isn't about Mosaic Church, it's about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. And I want you to memorize that and carry it with you so that you are ready to live on mission for the gospel every day. So go, take it with you. And I pray when you get back to your body that you will go to them and say, "Hey, let's do this together." And it'll be awesome. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus yet, you're sort of on a spiritual journey, you're not sure where you land, you're not sure what you believe, you just saw a fairy and you feel like God might be like a fairy, and it's sort of kind of weird. Listen, man, don't be weirded out by that. We've all journeyed through the reality of discovering the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of Jesus. I want you to take that piece of paper with you. I want you to put it in your pocket somewhere or carry it with you if you dare. And I just want you to hold it with you. Don't memorize it. Just read it once in a while. And just let it be a reminder to you that there is a God, a creator, that loves you and he is pursuing you. And when you are ready to ask bigger questions about him, you come. And we'll be ready to sit with you and journey with you. But keep that with you. If you want to toss it, toss it. If you want to leave it on your chair, leave it on your chair. You don't have to take it. But if you're here and you want to be part of a story that begins to unfold into a kingdom that is beyond our wildest imagination, then take with you this page and join the story. Join the mosaic and carry with you the word of God so that you can live out the gospel in word and in deed. This is why we are here. We have a nice new shiny building. It's so fun. It's just a stupid building. I mean it. I'm not kidding. The only thing that makes this building cool is that out of each wall we bleed through in every painting, in every verse, in everything we've written, in every photograph, in every picture. That it gives us the ability to create a world for our children that feels like Neverland, so that they know every week when they come to church, the church is the best place on earth because God is the best person on earth. And yes, this building gives us opportunity to serve our community, to love our children, and to give you guys lots of coffee. But it is just a building. And if we use it as the tool to display and demonstrate the reality of Christ, it will be a joy. And if we use this as anything else and care about this any more than we should, it will become our curse. So enjoy it, but only as a tool to display the gospel to the community around us. Let me pray for you, and then when I'm done praying, the worship team is going to lead us in one of my favorite worship songs about Jesus and the name of Jesus, because we need to remember that exalting his name is life. It brings life to everything. And while the song's playing, the guys are going to hand out the pages of the Bible. You grab one of those, and when we've handed out all the pages, Sean will invite you to participate in the worship. In the meantime, listen to the words. Let them wash over you. When you get a page of scripture, there's a sticky note on it. The sticky note is on the side of the page you're going to memorize, okay? Wow, you guys are lucky. If you want to be bold, flip the page over, memorize both, okay? But if you're a little scared, stick with the sticky note, okay? Let me pray for you guys. God, we thank you so much that you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness and called us into the kingdom of light. That we are safe from the reality and consequences of sin and death. Our spirituality has been renewed and awakened, and we are alive and well. Now I pray, God, that as the restoration process from our spirit into our flesh and our blood continues its work, as you, Spirit of God, work in us to bring to completion the work you began in us, that we would live out your ways, your rhythms of grace, so that people would see you in us, know your love through us, and would be changed by you as you work out of us. We live to glorify your name. We live to walk in your ways because we live free because you have rescued us. So God, may we take your word and eat it so that it would become the joy and rejoicing of our souls. May we hide it in our heart so that we would walk with it richly dwelling within us. And may we live it out so that others would know your love. Thank you that you've brought us together as a mosaic, ready to live on mission for you, ready to be life givers, ready to love one another because you have loved us. It's all for you, Jesus, all of it. May your name be glorified.